Hey guys, it's Ed. Just dropping in to give you some context on this episode. Dean was out for the week, and we kind of found out last minute. So Ben filled in his stead and did a pretty nice job. Unfortunately, we forgot a few things, the first of which is to tell you to check out our website, stuffsmartpplike.com. There you can find the episodes from the podcast, and you can also find the show notes for each episode. You can find some blog posts and also some links there that are usually related to things that we find throughout the week and things that are on the podcast. If you would like to get in contact with us, you can go through the contact link on the website, and we have nearly every form of contact available, so just go there and choose your poison and give us a shout out. We also would like it if you would write a review on iTunes. I know this sounds like a self-serving ploy, and it is, but it's not a ploy for affection, it's a ploy for attention. Because the way that iTunes works, the more reviews you get, the more exposure you get. So we ask for reviews not because we want you to say nice things about us, but because we're hoping that that will increase our exposure to other people who might also find the show interesting. So if you could do that, we'd really appreciate it, but please don't feel obligated to. The other thing is the show's free, and we intend it to be free. We don't want to make any money off it. We all have regular jobs, but we are affiliated with a charity, Hope for the Warriors, and post-Memorial Day, they could use some money. It's a charity that helps out veterans and their families, so if you would like to donate some money to that, you can go to the website, and there's a donate link on the right side and on the top that will take you to a page that will donate to Hope for the Warriors. And please do so in our name so that they know where you came from. Other than that, if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow the main blog at smartpplike. If you want to follow me, you can follow me at Edomaniac. You can follow Dean at The American Dean. You can follow Ben at Mr. Ben, M-I-S-T-A-H. And finally, you can follow Jordan at NeuroJ. That's neuro like a neuron. And enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Stuff Smart People Like podcast. We think it's smart, so should you.
Welcome, everybody, to the Stuff Smart People Like podcast. You may recognize my voice as the voice of Ben. That is because Dean is not available. Let's jump right into some smart suggestions. I'm going to go first because Dean is not here to toss it to me. My suggestion is a video game collection that just came out last week called the Humble Indie Bundle. And in it, there are, I believe, five games that have been previously released and are all totally awesome. And the nice thing about it is the setup is you can pay whatever you want, and you can actually, within that amount that you pay, subdivide it into compensating the developers who wrote the game, the service, the kind of group or company that is providing the games, and another portion of that can go to charity. And there's two charities. One of them is called Child's Play, which has been around now for a few years. And they've done the Humble Indie Bundles for a few years now, and they're really, really amazing, cool collections of games, some for kind of more hardcore players and some for more casual players. And they also toss in the soundtracks for the games and everything else, so it's totally recommended to try out. The games you can download are free of DRM or other restrictions, and you can even get your redemptions through Steam if you like using Steam and that sort of stuff too. So totally recommend checking out the Humble Indie Bundle, and hopefully you guys will pay more than just nothing. But
yeah, and we've pimped the Child's Play charity before on the blog.
Yep.
Have you played these games from this specific one yet? Tried them out?
I have not. I'm totally going to, though. And I know, like, for example, Amnesia, that's the one that actually kind of drew my attention, because that one is kind of famous for being terrifying.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of odd. I mean, the games themselves are just, you know, they're games that were not created in the spirit of charity or anything like that. So
yeah,
they are pretty good independent games and stuff. And Amnesia is one where instead of a life bar, you have a sanity bar.
Hmm.
And you have to, you try to avoid monsters in these situations, and you have to avoid them by hiding in the dark.
Oh, I had a friend who told me about this, and he said it's like the only game he's played where he's been like scared playing it.
Exactly. Yeah. That it's funny because like you have to turn your headphones off and stuff to do it right. And they're like, play it in the dark. It's so crazy. And yeah. And so you gain and lose sanity by being in the light and darkness. And then if the monsters catch you, obviously you die.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very sort of tense game the entire way through.
Yeah. You don't have weapons.
The other ones I have not played, but I've seen on some of the threads where I found it, they all seem to, at least half the games are genuinely really good games, and the other ones are like, okay, maybe not your thing, or actually not very good at all. But at the same time, you got to name your own price, and you help some people out, so.
Yeah, this is really cool. I was telling you yesterday that I don't usually get into games, but I feel like, you know, if I were to purchase this for whatever, $10 or something mm-hmm. like that, I could actually try all of these and maybe find one that was, you know, engaging enough to keep my attention for a while.
Yeah, that's the other nice thing about it. Also, they run on Macs and PCs, so they tried to catch as big of an audience as possible with this.
Wow, they've raised, they tell you information about how much they've raised. They've raised over $2 million.
Damn.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, they've got the general sort of like gaming community really gets behind this now, so. And they, you probably noticed on the page, they also have a leaderboard mm-hmm. for the people who pay the most for
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So there's that going on too.
I'm lonely, paid $1,000.
Yeah, no, they get up there pretty good. And I'm pretty sure that I wonder what the split is. They don't share that, but it'd be interesting to see how the charities do versus the developer versus.
Yeah, they like how they break it out between Windows, Mac, and Linux. And apparently Linux people they pay the most.
Yeah. All right. And so that was my suggestion. Edward.
Yes.
What is your very smart suggestion?
Well, I'm probably one of the last people on the internet to discover and really pay attention to this site. But this week, someone sent me a link to an article on the AWL. AWL. Mm-hmm. And through that, I found their sister site, or I don't know, what do you want to say? It's within the All
brother
Empire.
Site.
Yeah. Yeah, brother site. It's called...
Would you say it's all-encompassing?
Yeah. Well, they have a bunch of... I mean... yeah. I love puns. That's all right. The one that I ran across was Splitsider, and it's sort of a humorous blog or whatever you want to call it, or website. And what I like specifically about it is, you know, I very rarely use Twitter. I'm trying to use it more often, but when I do use it, I mostly just follow comedians and try to see, you know, the funny things they write. I think a lot of people do that, but I also get lost in the tweets. Like after a while, like my eyes glaze over in my head, and I don't want to scroll through pages more of tweets. So this is perfect for me, because each day they do a feature that is the best tweets by comedians that day. So
right.
Someone actually goes in and picks them out and puts them on, and it's kind of funny because they're somewhat informative, because they actually are normally about something that happened that day in the news, and that sort of indirectly you learn about news as well, but while laughing. Like the one yesterday, my favorite tweet from yesterday was, my favorite way to watch a spelling bee is on mute with the TV off. So there's some pretty good ones, and they're not like
nice.
I mean, I don't actually recognize
who is that from.
Allison Forns. I don't even know who that is. Like, I don't know who most of these people are, so they're not, it's not like it's all Patton Oswalt or Megan Amram.
That's
or something
good.
Like that, you know, it's they pull them from everywhere. I think I did a couple of days ago see a couple of the bigger names on there, but yeah, it's a, I mean, they say comedians. I'm guessing they're all comedians, but maybe it's just they're Twitter comedians, you know? Maybe they're not professional comedians, too.
Yeah, there's kind of this, kind of jumping off what you're saying, there are this, or is, this odd kind of world of just Twitter kind of humorous, I guess you want to call it that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just people who are totally average and have like regular jobs and whatever and just tweet insanity and hilarity the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the ones I follow, and she's like just lives in Michigan, is this person called Rare Basement. And it's not exactly like, it's definitely like R-rated humor, but I mean, she's just really random and funny and just like retweets hilarious stuff. And it's not predictable, and it's not just like the same nonsense that you see from like the fake celebrity Twitter accounts and all that nonsense. So yeah, it's really kind of a neat thing. That's kind of cropped up.
Going to follow her now.
Yeah, I don't know. You might want to check her tweets first just to see. And she has a pretty high volume, so.
Eh, it's fine.
I don't know. She's just random, you know?
Mm-hmm. Speaking of funny tweets, I think we should get an update from John Cusack's Twitter feed at some point.
Yeah, really.
Today.
Let's see what... Yeah, we'll check in on John, see what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Jordan.
Yes.
Do you have any... do you have a suggestion to defend?
You know what? I don't have a smart suggestion this week because I don't think people out there deserve it this week.
Ooh, I thought you were going to refute the entire establishment of smart suggestions.
Yeah,
just
I totally
don't deserve one.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Take that, listener.
Okay, kind of back down from your original argument. So
Jordan's not trying to win a popularity contest here. You know, he's just real. That's why he's here.
Right.
You have to earn my love, three listeners.
Okay. Non-participation is the highest form of flattery, I'm sure. okay. So unfortunately. I just switched over to look at the split sider, and Eddie Izzard's visage startled me.
Just popped right up. Yep.
Yeah, he just came at me, bro.
He would probably appreciate that he startled you.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to go through a little bit of the rundown here. As Dean has suggested in absentia, Chicago recently unveiled its traffic plan for zero pedestrian fatalities.
Mm-hmm.
And Ed, you live in Chicago, just kidding. what is your opinion on that?
Well, I had sent Dean that article partially because, you know, he lives in Chicago. I don't.
Right. I live near it, but yeah.
You know, I think it's easy to take the road of looking at it and saying, that's ridiculous, right? Mm-hmm. With just pure error alone, there's going to be some deaths. It just happens. People die, you know,
right,
accidents happen, whatever. And so I think people dismiss it a little too quickly as being a ridiculous goal. And I think it's only a ridiculous goal if you think it's actually attainable. I think what they're trying to say is, let's get it as low as possible, and if we can get, and we'll probably never get to zero, but we'll keep striving towards zero. I mean, that could be wrong, but
mm-hmm.
I kind of like it because I think you know, this is going to get a little soapboxy, but I think we don't strive for really hard, almost unattainable goals anymore as a country. And I mean, this is obviously my personal opinion, but the. You know, I mean, think like the space program, right? Like that was just a time when we decided we were going to do something that, you know, seemed impossible or, you know, difficult, and we did it. So, and, you know, frankly, I'm a pedestrian more often than I'm an actual driver. So it kind of hit home with me as like, yeah, I would like to not die on my bike on my way home from work, you know, and I don't know enough about the plan to know what they're going to really do to reduce that, but I think it's an impressive goal. And if they even see, you know, a somewhat dramatic decrease, you know, say 5-7% or something like that, for a large city like Chicago, that's pretty impressive. You know, it won't be attaining the goal, but if you set really low bars, you know, it's easy to attain them, but what does that really get you in terms of, you know,
but
affecting people's lives?
Impossible bars just makes people, like, dismiss, I think. They're like, really? Come on. Like, whatever. Why pay attention to this? Because it's not going to happen.
Right. And I think that's one danger of it. That's for sure.
Yeah. I don't know if I would have made this my, like, centerpiece, like, PR headline proposal type thing. I think it's a good goal, like, for planning and that kind of stuff, because you do need to think big when you're thinking sort of long-term projects and everything. But I don't see when you just sort of throw it out there and then the main headline is, hey, you hear this, Chicago is trying to have zero deaths. And it's like, you know, that's like people when they want to have, like, you know, zero murders or any other like crime statistic go down to zero. It's not necessarily a real goal so much as a philosophical outlook on the thing and not accepting the failures of the current system as sort of the default. That's the main part.
Right. And anyone who has watched The Wire can attest to the fact that when you set up a system like that, there's some cheating involved. So it's possible that if they put enough pressure on people, deaths might get reclassified as, I don't know. I'm thinking of when they would actually reclassify murders as being other types of fatalities and stuff to try to get the crime statistics down. But I don't know how easily it would be to recategorize a person dying in a bicycle crash. It's pretty hard to make that something else. But yeah, I don't know. I just think I applaud them for it. I don't know if they went about it the right way, but I think we need to start thinking bigger. You know, we need to start thinking, give people something to, I don't know, think about and work toward. That's not.
We need to start thinking more realistically.
So, what would be more realistic for you? What do you think?
Well,
I mean,
it's like the whole, like I said, what about a percentage? Let's get it down to this number. Like, it's just kind of, I guess, coming at it from a psychology point of view. If you're in, you know, you have someone that's engaged in therapy, you set attainable goals. If you set a goal that's really out of reach, then it discourages people and they lose sight of trying to do anything.
Well, yeah, but I think part of the idea is that this is not a goal set. This is not a goal set out of, maybe, I don't know if I want to say out of reach, but the idea being, you know, when you, at least a lot of people, if they have a goal to, like, lose weight, ideally, if you're smart about it, which the show is, you would say, okay, well, in X number of months, I would like to have lost, say, 40 pounds or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then, hey, let's build a plan around that, which can get us there. So, I mean, maybe not zero deaths, but you can say, like, what is it about, you know, a well-regulated crosswalk system? Or what is it about a certain, you know, sidewalk size, width? You know, I mean, I don't even know what else they're going to be working on necessarily, but it's probably stuff like bike paths and, you know, clear signage, lighting at night. I'm trying to think what else. Who knows? It could even be such things that the city can, if they can control, you know, how many people are downtown during days. So it's coordinating events and locations and, you know, that kind of stuff. So,
yeah. I mean, I think, and the other thing too, is that there's a weird kind of disconnected human economy kind of approach if you're thinking only reductions in percentages, because what you're saying is an acceptable level of death of people in our city is 5%, right? I mean, that's another way of reframing it.
It's unsettling to say, but yeah.
When you see like that thing, like, so when I see the zero thing in Wisconsin, I just think it's ridiculous and I just don't even pay attention to.
Well, yeah, but you don't work for the traffic authority either. I mean, there's a difference between
state,
between like buying it as a pedestrian or a consumer and buying it as like, okay, this is our new goal and we need to
In Wisconsin, there are to fix this. They are kind of, I guess, I don't know about the one in Chicago. Here, they're really targeted at, I guess, you know, everyone in the state, like people. So you're like, oh, really? Zero in Wisconsin? Yeah, good luck with that.
And then so what do you mean? How are they targeting it towards you? Just like advertising that's their goal?
Yeah.
Or are they
commercials,
giving specific
ads, billboards, stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know,
I can understand that. Again, I don't think this is like a really good PR thing because, like you said, it's that when it becomes sort of a piece of propaganda, it's kind of then it feels lofty and silly.
Yeah. So I guess that's where I'm coming from my experience with the campaign that's here.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a related, and I understand that issue, but it's a separate issue in that it's we the effectiveness of the advertising campaign, right? Like,
right.
If that's actually going to change anything, I don't know. But I was thinking more, yeah, like Ben was thinking more in terms of big changes to procedure. We just know that trying to get people to change their behavior is not really that easy to do. But if you can do it in these sort of, you can do it sort of surreptitiously through trying to control the flow of traffic, trying to make sure pedestrians choose a different path rather than going down, like, you know, a more dangerous street. Just things like little changes like that. And in that article, they talk a little bit about Sweden, that they actually put on their books like a zero deaths by traffic accidents in like 97. And that they planned on having it by, you know, 2050. And they, in the article, they say that, you know, obviously they're not there yet, but their number of deaths, even though their traffic is increasing, their number of deaths per, you know, per capita or how they adjust it is like a third of what it is in the U.S. So, I mean, I don't know if that's controlling for differences in the amount of traffic, but they're doing something there, you know, so.
Right.
But I think it's also, it needs to be embraced by people too. So there's a big part of selling it to people. Obviously it hasn't been sold to Jordan, but you know, they're,
I am not a consumer of that.
Right.
Yeah. So,
well, how many times have you just been in your car and totally forgotten that you don't want to hit people?
Yeah.
Oh no, I'm actually
you're like, oh, I'm actually, oh, that's right, I'm not supposed to be running over these people today.
I'm usually reminded that I want to hit people when I'm in my car.
Yeah.
Right.
So that was traffic.
Segway.
Ed, talk about your evil baby cousin.
So I sent you guys this picture last
Why
night.
Why is he evil?
Have you seen that picture?
Did you see the picture?
I did.
Yeah.
No, he does. He looks like he's coming
out.
Have you,
and have you seen The Omen? Like, yes.
I did this for you. but I don't know. People, Facebook is an interesting place. Obviously, people post whatever they want on Facebook. And, you know, I'm a snarky, kind of sarcastic guy. And my cousin, you know, it's her first kid, and she's really happy, and I'm excited for her and everything. And so she posts a lot of stuff about him, and he's a cute kid. But she posted this photo the other day where he looks like if you stare at it too long, you might go out and try to kill the president. You know?
He's just, yeah, he's got a very stern audience.
Right, and the caption is like, he looks like a charmer, and I'm like, he looks like a psychopath. You know?
Yeah, he looks like he's coming for you.
Yeah, so I tried really hard not to. I was going to post something snarky, you know, and comment toward it. You know, and everybody's like, oh, he's handsome. Oh, you know. And I guess what I'm saying is we should be able to make fun of babies more often. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Well, I totally agree. Yeah.
But
yeah, I've had those moments too, and not necessarily with, like, crazy baby photos, which, let's face it, babies do not understand cameras, so they're going to make weird faces and weird actions when you least expect it.
Right.
And the parent, of course, because they're in love with everything the baby does, is going to post that thing.
Yep.
There you go. But you shit himself.
We don't have to appreciate
cute.
It the same yeah. level. I feel like there should be kind of like a... If Facebook was really cool, they would have like a peanut gallery thing.
Yeah.
You know, where there was like a separate comment section.
Yeah, yeah.
Just for like people to...
That the person who posted it can't like, see.
Yeah.
Yeah, or totally. It's anonymous. Every comment's anonymous. No, I don't know. But
I don't know. Yeah, a feature no one would ever use.
Wouldn't it be great if there was like a, you know how they have the Google glasses, or what are they? Not yes. Google glass. Not the new things. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the like beer, the email goggles, Gmail goggles or whatever, where if you're drunk, you have to answer all these math questions before you can actually message somebody. What if Facebook had a thing where it judged the quality of the stuff you put up and would not let you post it if it wasn't above a certain, like our algorithm predicts that no one will be interested in this photo of you eating breakfast. So we're not going to allow you to post that.
Right. Your photos of the progressive remodeling of your house are not worthy of posting.
Yeah, take 100 of them, make a YouTube video out of it, and time lapse it. Then that's interesting.
Right.
Or if you have, like, you know, 40 pictures of the same thing, you know, maybe pick your best two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. There is actually an interesting comment regulation thing, and I forget. I read it on Andy Anako's blog. He had suggested that that when people want to make comments, they start out being able to type whatever they want. And if a comment gets flagged or is deemed trollish, they take away letters that work. So that way, over time, people could still... You wouldn't be blocking people, but that their bad behavior would limit their ability to express themselves.
So they would start losing vowels and stuff? Like, they couldn't type
in? Yeah, exactly. So they, yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Based on the way...
So eventually... You'd,
I was going to say, based on the way people spell on Facebook currently, I would assume that's already a comment system in effect.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah. It, but still, I mean, you could, yeah, substitutions with numbers and stuff, too, was another thing brought up as a possible oversight. But I don't know. It still seemed like a good idea.
So. I'm in favor of you know, keeping track of the trolls and keeping them, making them think.
Oh, but they don't think.
Yeah. Going back, kind of circling around as we do these things. One of the people I follow on Twitter is called is named Research Remix, and she is a huge proponent of open access. And she had pointed out that there's apparently something of an ongoing battle in journals, and this is kind of light on the lighter side, of journals finally moving away from the data and datum terminology and just accepting data is and that sort of stuff instead of having saying data are and all that.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of those.
Is that, does that just like take a load off of your brain or does that even matter?
It's one of those things where people do both or will accidentally, you know, so people will say these data, right? So these data suggest that, which is proper because they're plural.
Right.
But it doesn't sound right. So
These data are not representative. Yeah.
Right. That's interesting. I mean, I don't know. I think as academics, we tend to get a little too focused on being really proper all the time. You know. So a good example of that is third person pronouns. You know, male and female. So to say, you know, you're talking about a person, you would say he or she, you know, a person goes to the store and he or she buys a gallon of milk, right? And that's really cumbersome, right? And you could just, you know, it used to be the thing you would just say he and just sort of mean everybody.
Right, a hypothetical person.
Right, and sort of the new politically correctness, and not new by any contemporary terms, new as in, you know, it's been a while, but it is he or she, and that's really cumbersome. And really, we just need a neutral. I mean, I would be fine with they, which a lot of people would go, oh my God, that's terrible. And there's this kind of reverse thing that happens where they'll sort of just put she for everything, right? So a person goes to her and she does this. And I guess in the scheme of things, to balance out all the he's that were used in the past, you could use a lot of she's for a while and it wouldn't, you know, but I think it's dumb. Like, why can't we just have a neutral third person, you know, pronoun, like
gender, singular pronoun,
right? And I think, right, exactly. So I don't know, but I think, but that's something that people get really riled up about. And you know, to me, it sounds okay to say the person goes to the store and they buy, like, you know, gallon of milk.
Right.
That doesn't sound that strange to me, but to some people, that's like chalk, you know, nails on a chalkboard. So.
Right.
But
Is that like a formatting thing, like in place, like by like APA standards or stuff, or is that just
the he or she?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't know. That's just. I mean, kind of just assumed that was a, you know, sort of grammar thing, but maybe it is.
Okay.
Maybe we just pay more attention to it.
Because I know that there's a certain sort of streak in academic journals that seems opposed to kind of like actually like good writing.
Yeah, no, and, no. Yeah.
You know, likes to really break it down to these horrible, clunky sentences.
Yeah, and academic writing is really bad. It's really horrible. There are some really specific recommendations in the APA style manual, if you really look into it,
right,
about uses of certain things. And it's stuff that you think most people wouldn't care about. So one another example is people in speech, they say since when they mean because, right? So, you know, since, you know, I was already doing this, I was, you know, whatever. When really since is supposed to be meant in like a time sense, like it's been 10 days since I smoked last or whatever, right? So so people use that. That's the way they speak. In writing, that's not technically correct, and people will write it that way. And so there's actually a whole, at least a paragraph in the APA manual about since and because.
I'm kind of happy with the idea that they're finally getting over the singular datum.
Yeah, yeah.
Or datum.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, because I took some linguistics classes in college, and I don't know, a lot of linguists are, you know, more interested in the descriptive analysis than prescriptive, and not saying these are how things should be versus this is how people talk. And no one, I don't think I've ever heard anyone say datum without being a pompous ass.
Oh, I'm going to say it now.
I think that the, I mean, I think that's true. I took a linguistics class, and I think in the scale of like language, they're extremely liberal versus who, you know, maybe the English teachers of your high school were on the very conservative side of use of language. I recommended that podcast a while back, Lexicon Valley. It's kind of, the guys are really dry, and so it's kind of hard to pay attention for a long period of time, I've found, but I think what they talk about is really interesting when I can, you know, force myself to listen to them talk. And they talk about some of these kinds of issues, but I think, I mean, I personally am of the, you know, language is going to evolve, and as much as you want people to use words in a certain way, they're going to use them however they want, and whatever is most common is going to become common, and eventually it'll become part of the, you know, lexicon. So, you know, you can be one of those uptight, you know, people who are railing against the, you know, change, but you're just gonna look like a pompous ass, you know. So
you're just gonna be the stuffed shirt. It's weird. Linguistics is right up there with economics as far as really, really interesting things that are really, really boring, or usually presented really, really dryly, and it's just really hard to wrap your head on. It's really hard to stay engaged. But I do want to make another recommendation right now. And it's kind of an older book, but it's called The Language Instinct, and it's by Steven Pinker, who is he's a evolutionary psych, right?
Cognitive, but he's also very evolutionary based. Yeah.
Right. He also did some linguistic stuff, and that's a pretty good book, I think. I'm kind of on the fence about the evolutionary et ceteras, but, you know, that's me.
His book, The Blank Slate, is like one of the best psychology, popular like psychology books I've ever read. He's like something of a, I don't know, what would you call him, Jordan? Like he's a sort of a celebrity within psychology.
A personality.
Yeah, he's kind of a rock star.
Yeah, he's a rock star. That's the right word for it. Yeah.
So, no, but like, in more senses of the word, like he does kind of like good stuff. He can relay it, but he kind of has like that larger than life personality within the field too,
and he has great hair.
I see a lot of followers and that sort of stuff.
I haven't seen his hair lately, so now I'm. Oh yeah, yes. He
oh
does.
Yeah, he's got excellent hair. So that's check out Steven Pinker. Another smart suggestion there. Woven right in there.
Yeah, really. This is one of our deep cuts for suggestions.
Yeah. Let's see what John Cusack is up to.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
Let's see,
hey, John.
See what's up with the Cuse.
All right.
Cuse is loose. Cuse.
No, I don't think so. I don't think he is.
The Cuse is loose.
This makes... Okay, here's a tweet from Mr. Cusack. Lord Cusack of John. He says, and I don't know if you guys can help me parse this, wonder what the timing is like for innocent people being killed in the, quote, name of terror, unquote, blindly trust... cede all power, forget the law. I don't think that's timing, John.
I don't
know what he's getting at.
I don't think that's even a sentence.
But clearly, that he's trying to be prescient.
Yeah,
he does pose these sort of rhetorical questions a lot in his tweets.
Oh yeah, he loves that.
Yeah, Obama and drone warfare. Will Americans speak out? I don't really go to John Cusack for anything but middling performances in movies. I don't know.
Serviceable. Guys. Come on, not minimum. Serviceable.
I just like to do that to get our fans riled up. They like to.
Oh, I see.
They don't like it when we take on the actors.
Yeah.
So.
Really. I like this one. I'm going to break up a little bit.
Okay.
At Monkey Middle says, "Amen to that. Your politics, alchemical transformation, proper grammar. Could you be more perfect?"
Wow.
And the front of this was, the front of this tweet is, "My grammar proudly sucks her!" Exclamation point. There's a certain level of that that kind of crosses into surrealist art.
Yeah, I can't tell if that's what the intent is or if it's just nonsense.
Oh my God, this man is amazing.
I think one of the things that I was thinking about, you mentioned earlier this, Snow White and the Huntsman.
Yes, movie? Snow White and John Huntsman. Yeah.
That would be a way different movie.
That would be an amazing movie.
Yeah.
I guess about that movie, I'm conflicted because I kind of really want to see it based on the preview, but then there's the whole fact that Kristen Stewart is the lead.
Is one of the main characters.
And that makes me sad.
Yeah, but Charlize Theron might balance that out, right? She's pretty awesome most of the time.
I'm pretty sure she's going to be devouring scenery in this.
How much you know that I hate Kristen Stewart?
Well, I know you hate Kristen Stewart, and I don't know. You know
how I get with my arbitrary hatred, Zed.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, this has got a ridiculous number of well-known actors playing the dwarves, or I don't know if they're actually dwarves in this or not.
No, they are.
Okay.
Bob Hoskins, I know, is one of them.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's Ian McShane.
Mario himself, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, Ian McShane.
No word on whether he'll pull out Elsewhere Engine in the middle of a battle.
Oh my God, I hope so. Like he runs like the dwarf whorehouse.
Who else is it? Thor.
This guy, he was taking me to the cleaners and Pharaoh.
Thor plays John Huntsman. Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Ray Winstone and Nick Frost. So I think obviously they're minor characters. They might not have a whole lot of screen time, but yeah. It's enough. Eddie Izzard's in it, actually. It's enough to make me. I know it's right at that 50 or so percent mark that people on Rotten Tomatoes. But I was telling Ben this the other day. I saw John Carter, and John Carter was not nearly as bad as people made it out to be. It wasn't a great movie, but it would be a good kids like sci-fi movie. And this looks like an interesting attempt at a fantasy movie. Even if it doesn't succeed, it's
right.
You know, I mean, why not? So and you know, like Ben said. The scenes where Charlize Theron probably, you know, steals anything she's in are going to be worth watching. And, you know, it's probably just going to be a lot of Kristen Stewart looking, you know, kind of sad and a little melancholy and looking off in the distance.
Biting her lip.
Yeah.
Yeah, doing that. A little inhale thing. And just, yeah.
And being a terrible actress, don't forget that.
She doesn't have, like, very much range or anything.
No.
No.
It's amazing that she gets leads.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, the thing is, like...
Have to get leads because, you know, a side character, supporting characters actually have to have, like, personality.
Have to have character.
I talked about this on when I did the reading of Twilight, and she was just perfectly cast because I can't think of anyone else I hate as much as I hated the Bella character. And
yeah, she's just such a blank...
She's just like the most boring, one-dimensional person I could think of to play a boring, one-dimensional character.
So here's my question about her then. Is that her or is that her characters? Because like to me, you know,
we hang out all the time, so I can tell you that.
But no, yeah, I mean, right. she's either.
I like that you like hate her and you're friends with her.
I just hate her work.
Yeah.
She's either typecast as that, like, quite often, or she is that way, because, like, every movie I've ever seen, it's not just the Twilight movies. She was in Adventureland. She was in Adventureland with Jesse Eisenberg.
Sucked that one
up. And she played the same character, like, this sort of pouty, like, obnoxious, like, you're supposed to think that this is the girl everybody wants to fall in love with, and she just plays that same just kind of, you know, brooding, aloof, pouty, like, I'm better than you kind of girl. And, like, that's, you know, I don't know. So I think that there must be something there. Or she just, like Ben said, maybe she's just a really nice person in you know, real life, but she can't act other than that way. I don't know. She's not who I would think of as Snow White either. I mean,
No.
Obviously, totally. I'm affected by the Disney Snow White pretty significantly in my visualization, but I don't know. So, anyway, I was really disappointed because the trailer for that thing looked awesome. So
yeah,
I was really disappointed that it didn't seem like it was panning out.
Yeah.
But next week is Prometheus, so.
Yeah, really. And like I said before Jordan got on, I'm definitely going to be doing a pretty big alien fest. I would like to, at least, if possible, because I'm a huge fan. I have the quadrilogy, and I am a big fan of like, even sort of like the odd, they're not even necessarily side projects, but things that are similar and inspired it or are thought to have inspired it, or other work that guys like Dan O'Bannon and stuff have done as well. So,
O'Bannon.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry. Which is Dan O'Bannon.
Dano.
Is like a super action name.
Dan O'Bannon.
That is.
He's the nerdiest dude I've ever seen.
Seems like he should be in like the Johnny Quest cartoon.
No, exactly. Like Race Canyon, yeah. But no, he's a shrimpy nerdy dude, and he died a few years ago. But he's a pretty neat personality. But yeah, I'd like to do kind of a little. I mean, I don't know if it's just like me just riffing off trivia or what, but there's a lot of stuff to bring up and talk about. So, I think the Alien Legacy is pretty remarkable. So, as far as like pop culture and it's sort of what it did for film and that sort of stuff. So. Yeah.
Right on.
Like I said, I'm already kind of nerding out about it, so.
You.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Well, I think we covered everything we need to cover today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. I think it's been an economical time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, Dean is sorely missed.
Oh, Dean's not
so
here.
So if you're out there, Dean.
Oh, Dean? Where?
Who?
No. No, we didn't.
There was a fourth guy.
Yeah. There was a fourth man in the grassy knoll.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the same thing I was thinking. Hey guys, it's Ed again. One other thing I forgot. Dean left this note, and I'm supposed to read it to you, so.
My dearest podcast listeners, it is with the sincerest apologies that I bring you the news of my absence from our regular visit this week. It seems that while we can generally reserve this hour to be together, other obligations have rendered me regretfully unavailable. Though I expect a swift return next week, and our time apart will be brief. If in that time you should find another to fill the void, I will hold no hardness toward you. Know, however, that I will bear the distance with a longing only true friends and compatriots may hold. Why, even as I write these words, I realize these declarations may be forward, and I cannot and do not expect reciprocation of such affections. But if you'll forgive my boldness, I must assert this. You will be foremost in my thoughts and in my heart. Yours, most smartly, Dean, Private First Class, Illinois Mounted Cavalry, 1862.
Well, listeners, I think it's time we all moseyed off of this podcast. You can check us out on the Tumblrs, on the Twitters. We're the Stuff Smart People Like gang. We'd appreciate it if you told us what you thought of our little show here. My name's Ben. Over there on guitar is Edward. And Jordan's drunk in the back, but he sends his regards.
I'm your huckleberry.
Thank you kindly.